Go to the next one. Na veda yajna dhyanair na danaihi. Na cha kriya bhir na tapo bhir ugraihi. Evam rupam shakya aham riloke. Drashtum tvadanye nakuru pravira. Kuru pravira. He says, oh Arjuna, Kuru means the family. He belonged to the Kuru family. Veera means you are the brave one. Pravira, prakashnena, veera means the bravest. You are the bravest. You are the best of the Kuru family. Oh Arjuna, how do you reach me? He says, na veda yajna adhyayan. He says, you cannot reach me through Vedas, through studies of the Vedas. You cannot reach me through yajna, through sacrifice. Adhyayan, through reading the scriptures. No. Na danaihi, not by sacrifice, not by service, not by charity. You cannot reach me by those. Na cha kriya, and not even by rituals. Vina tapo bhi ugrai, even the strongest penance, the most intense penance, you cannot see me, you cannot reach me. He says, what? I cannot reach you through study of the scriptures. I cannot reach you through sacrifice. I cannot reach you through rituals. I cannot reach you through penance. I cannot reach you through study. Okay, then let's go. Then why are we sitting here? Then I don't need to sit here. He says, no. He says, evam rupa shakya aham nriloke. Evam rupa, this form of mine, aham shakya, is not possible. Nriloke, loke means in this world of humans. Drashtum tvadanya, it's not possible to be seen except for you, Guru Pravira. So first of all, we understood why he says that you alone have seen it. You know, because you are, it was my grace, and you in this world itself, you are able to see me as the cosmic form. But here he seems to criticize all the methods of spiritual progress, like study of the scriptures, doing the rituals, doing the sacrifices, where you offer, doing the charity, and then doing the rituals, and even doing penance. So what Gurudev in his commentary says, that it's not that these means are not beneficial. Nowhere it is said that you should not sit down and study the Vedas, you should not read the Bhagavad Gita, you should do some sacrifice, do some charity, do some service, sit down and do some rituals if you can, sacrifice something for the Lord, and even do some tapas, you know, do some self-control, like people in a fast on every Ekadashi, they fast, you know, or they fast on Mahashivratri, or like in, they fast in the month of Easter, or the Muslims fast in the month of, you know, Ramadan. So those are all very good. Fasting, service, prayers, rituals, reading scriptures. But the problem happens when they become the goal. They are the means to reach that goal. They should not become the goal itself. Like people are so hooked upon fasting that they just fast and just make their body very thin, like Buddha did. But they forget that the fasting is done so that while I'm fasting, I should not be thinking about food, I should be thinking about God. And why am I fasting? So that I develop some degree of self-control to reach the Lord. Like reading. Reading is wonderful. But if you just keep on reading, then reading itself becomes a goal. Then you say, I can then say, you know, I have read so many Upanishads and I know Sanskrit. And I can give talks, you know, like I am doing. And then suddenly this little ego comes, you know, I know so much. And so then reading becomes a goal that, oh, I can read and I can give talks. I can read, write papers. You know, people get PhD in Sanskrit and they can, you know, quote the Upanishads and they have memorized all the Sanskrit grammar and they can write, you know, papers. And But then that itself becomes a goal. The idea is that through that reading, I should try to reach that self. Through the reading, through the right knowledge. In fact, even in Manashodhana we're doing on Thursday night, they've talked about the importance of knowledge. The path of knowledge is very important. Nahi jnane na sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, the knowledge is the best means to reach me. And that is the best way to purify the mind. But reading itself should not become a goal. Why am I reading? So that I may realize the truth. And it should be done with humility, with devotion to the Guru, with devotion to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving me this knowledge. Thank you for giving me this ability to understand. Thank you for giving me the ability to speak. So that reading should be done with the purpose that through reading I will reach the Lord. Not reading itself is the goal. So similarly, all these rituals, you know, people get so hooked up on rituals. Morning to night, they are doing rituals, rituals, rituals. And then rituals itself becomes, you know, or the goal, or, you know, so that through the rituals, my mind should become purified, my mind should become quiet, I should think about the Lord. And in that quiet mind, then the Lord's grace will appear. So all these means are very good. We are not criticizing the means. We are not criticizing the methods. But they are the goal. Just as I have a staircase to reach the second floor. I want to go to the second floor. So I take the staircase. But then I get stuck on the staircase and I say, I am enjoying the staircase. I'm not going to the second floor. I was listening to a very beautiful talk by Prabhuji, and he talks about the goal in life or the purpose. It's a beautiful talk. So I'll kind of summarize it. So he says, like, say, now I'm going from here to Los Angeles. I'm from here to New York, from Los Angeles to New York. So I have to go across the country. So my goal is New York. But, you know, it's not, I cannot reach in one drive. So I'm driving. I'm not flying. So on the way I reach, you know, Las Vegas. And then some people say, Las Vegas, bada acha hai, you know. It's nice. It's all this fun and 24 hours of, you know, excitement. I forget who's interested in Vegas. Who's interested in New York. So he forgets his goal. He stays in Vegas. He's enjoying his life. Another person goes a little further and then he has to stay overnight in Denver. So he takes a halt overnight. He says, oh, the skiing is so beautiful. I love skiing. Forget about New York. So he stays there. But there are very few people who say, yeah, okay, I stopped in Las Vegas. I saw the, you know, it's a lively place. It's fun. Okay. And then I went to Denver. I spent the night and okay, I went for skiing the next day. But then I said, no, my goal is New York. Okay. I enjoyed Denver and then I move on. So a person, he may have to stop and, or some people say they reach Chicago and they say, oh, I met this beautiful girl and they fall in love and they get married and they have children. They say, forget about New York. I'm going to stay in Chicago. Or then he meets a friend and all. So he says, that's how we are in life, that we forget our goal. And the goal of human birth is self-realization, God-real. Along the way, you will meet friends. You know, you spend time with friends or you will have a family. So yeah, you take care of your family just as you stopped in Chicago and you took care of your, got married and all. But you don't forget that my ultimate goal is New York. So while I am taking care of the family and doing my duties, I always remember that my goal is God realization. Even if I have to spend a night, night means death. Okay, I died and I left this body and I still not realized. So if I take a birth again. So in the next birth, I don't forget that my goal is self-realization. My goal is continued. That's like spending the night. So the idea being that in life, you will get, you know, temptations, you will get distractions, and then you will have to do some things to take care of your family and your pension plan and your retirement and your house. But through all this, you do all of them as a service of the Lord, remembering the Lord and always keeping your goal in mind that my goal is self-realization. And every activity I do as my duty, as a karma yoga, as a service of the Lord, but never forgetting the goal. So that is the important thing, that you have to constantly remember your goal while doing all these, doing rituals, doing prayers, doing studies of the Vedas, offering, you know, doing charity, doing service. And these are all means to purify the mind, to make the mind quiet. And in that quiet mind, I can then reach that state of. So that's why he says that through all of these, you cannot reach me. But all of these will help when there is total surrender. See, surrender is very important. And that's why the path of bhakti, the path of love, is now, I would not say easier, but it can be done where you don't really have to study. You don't have to, like Mirabai, she had not studied too much. She had corresponded with one guru briefly, but she just said, Krishna, I'm married to Krishna. That's it. For her, nothing else mattered. And she became one with Krishna. But there has to be total surrender of the ego, which is not easy. That's why they say the path of knowledge is relatively easier, because you can sit down, you can study the scriptures, you can, with the grace of a guru, learn, then you can contemplate, meditate, think about it, but to totally surrender your ego, where you say, God, you alone are, I am nothing, I am just a humble servant in your hand, I am that little broomstick, you can use me to clean the room, or if you don't want to use me, leave me on one side. So when that total surrender comes, when that total love comes, then to reach God is easy. There is this very beautiful saying, those who cannot see it, please come and read it. It's by a very famous saint called Rabia. I found it somewhere. He says, Lord, if I love you out of fear of hell, throw me into hell. If I love you for the sake of heaven, close the gates of heaven to me. But if I love you for the sake of loving you, do not deny yourself to me. There's a lot to learn in this saying, because most of us, why do we approach God? Either we want freedom from sorrow or we want joy. Like my child is sick or I am sick. Oh Lord, make me well, make me well, make me well, make my child well. Or God, you know how much I need money. And you have Lakshmi with you. You have all the wealth of the world. Can you not send me just $1 million? So either we go to God for relief of sorrow or to get the joys of the world, whatever the joys we want. We are not saying that if you are in sorrow, you shouldn't approach the Lord. Obviously, you should approach the Lord when you are suffering and He will relieve it. But do not go to Him only when you are relieving. Like I said, do not make it a spare wheel. Use prayer all the time. So she says, I do not want to reach you to love you to get out of suffering. I do not even want to love you to get the joys of the world. I want to love you for the sake of loving you. That's what they say, that love God for what He is. It doesn't matter whether I get what I want, whether I don't get what I want. Even if there are sorrows, oh Lord, that is my own karmas. But have total unconditional love for the Lord with no expectation. Like when you love your child, do you love the child that, okay, now I am loving him or her. So when he grows up, then, you know, he's going to earn a lot of living and money and take care of me. Then your love is conditional. I took care of you, therefore you have to. That is different. You know, like now our parents took care of us. So we say it is my duty because my parents took care of me. So it is my duty. But if a parent is loving a child with that idea, then it becomes a business. You know, I love you, so you love me back. Or God, I offered so many candles and I said Om Namah Shivaya so many times. So now I should get. Then it becomes a business. God, I love you totally, unconditionally, completely. Irrespective of whether I get what I want, I don't get what I want. My love is not conditioned upon that. Because when the love is conditioned, you know, I did so much and I didn't, and I got old Chevrolet, and look at my neighbor, he never goes to church and he got a Mercedes. Then that love is not, you know, that is not true love. So that's what they say, that if you want to reach me, you have to reach me through total unconditional love and total surrender. Surrender is very, very important. Where even the trace of ego should not be there. There should be no trace of doership, that I am doing it. Anytime that I comes in, then immediately he disappears. That's what Kabir Dasji says. Prem gali, sankri, isme do na samaye. If I am there, then Hari is main hu to Hari nahi, Hari hu to main nahi. That means the path of love is so narrow that either I am there or God is there. Both of us cannot be there at the same time. So the idea being that you have to give up the I and make the Lord as the instrument, make the Lord as the doer. I am the humble instrument. And that is the only way. Finally, all paths lead to love. The path of service, the path of charity, the path of rituals, the path of study, they're all very good. They're all very essential. They're all necessary. You cannot reach that final state without studying the scriptures, without doing some prayer, without doing some sacrifice, without doing some charity. All that will be very helpful. They are like the steps, but finally it has to reach to total love and surrender, which he will talk more in the later verses. So that is what he says, that to reach me, you have to follow what Rabia said, that love God for the sake of love. And total love and unconditional surrender, not based on a give and take. There's no business. It's not, because we are all very profit-oriented. You know, if usse mujhe kya milega? What am I going to get by doing prayers? What am I going to get by going to church? What am I going to get by going on the pilgrimage? What am I going to get by going to Kailash? Nothing. You will just become closer to Him. That is Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukkha Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.